I'd like to go on a little bit with the theme of the song that was just sung. I was doing some reading. Someone had recommended something on a website not too long ago, and it was regarding finances, and I'm not a big one to, I don't have a lot of those kind of books, and I don't get into that, but I read this one because I'm interested in people. And this one was a list of the habits and behavior of rich people. That was interesting. 20 things that the rich do every day. And I think it was on Dave Ramsey's website. I read that, and it stayed on my mind, some of the things that I read on there. And I was going around doing my work, and I took my rugs out to shake them, and was shaking that rug and thinking about what I had just read, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said to me, "This is exactly why more people are not spiritual." Some of these very same things that I had just read. And He began to open up to me. I'll just begin there, and then I'll say more about what the Lord showed me. But I began to think about some of the scriptures that there are in the Bible. I want to get one here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. I'd like for this to probably be the text tonight. Proverbs 13 and 4. 13 and 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Another one, Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. What is the key word in these two verses that I just read? Then I think about a scripture over here in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And He gives here a list, and that's a whole other message. But after He gives the list, He said, if these things be in you and abound, they make you to be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. This is the key right here. And I'd like to write it on the board. What the Lord showed me. Can remember. Desire. That a lot of people have desire. The soul of the sluggard desireth, but he doesn't have anything. But the soul of the diligent, he gets it. He has the reward. And that's what the Lord gave me. Desire plus diligence equals destination. Now I want to give you some of the things that I read. 80% of wealthy are focused on accomplishing some single goal. Only 12% of poor do this. The Lord let me see that there is a high goal, a goal that we must have. We must set our eyes on one single goal. And if we don't have our eyes on that goal, we'll fall. But if we have our eyes on that goal, we will make it. We'll never fall. And that goal, let's read about it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And also, this is the one. Also, Luke chapter 21 and 36. Will somebody get that one? And I want to read 2 Peter 3 and 14. This is the goal. And if we don't have this as our primary goal, a single goal for eternity, we won't make it. He said, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." That's our goal. And let's read the other one. Does somebody have Luke 21 and 36?
"Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man."
And to stand before the Son of Man. Yes. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He'll stand before kings. The greatest king you could stand before is the King of Kings. It takes diligence, patient continuance in well-doing. He said on the good ground are they that in patience bring forth, in an honest and good heart bring forth fruit with patience. It's the long haul we're interested in. It's the single goal. 80% of wealthy people who have made it wealthy, that's one of the reasons why they did, because they made it their goal. If you and I will make it our goal, heaven, I mean to go to heaven at any cost. That's my single goal for eternity. I want to stand before the Son of Man. I want to be found of him in peace. When we hear that noise, like Brother Sanchez said, Sister Lisette heard that in her dream, and I've had similar dreams when I was a child, and I've heard loud noises before, literally, and wondered for a split second if it weren't the Lord, and I'm sure all of us have, but to just live for that moment. My dad always said, take the last day of your life and make it your constant companion. That's not morbidity, that's reality. That is being real with yourself. That's saying to yourself, my goal is heaven, and I cannot afford to miss it for anything. We look at things with an eternal perspective. Everything here that people are setting their goals on are going to pass away. Everything that you enjoy in this life is going to pass away, except for eternal things. Just think about this. What we did tonight in singing our praises, do you realize that's some of the only things that we have here in this building that we're going to take with us, is that spiritual worship and praise, the love, the intangibles, the things that are not, we call them concrete here on earth. And in English, you learn that some nouns were concrete and some were abstract and some were ideas and some were love, joy. But you know what? Those are the real concrete. Those are the eternal. Those are the things that are last. You have those things, you build those things into your life. And if you have them through diligence, you'll never fall. And an abundant entrance will be ministered unto you. Do you want to just scrape in, skip by, barely make it? No, I don't. He said, if we do these things, you'll never fall. And so he said, read it again, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I was meditating on that, 80% of the wealthy have a single goal. The Lord spoke to me and he said, people are not aiming high enough. They're not aiming high enough. And that's why they're falling. And that's why they're setting goals. I want to be accepted by the saints or by my peers. I want to be in the young people's group. That's not high enough. I want to please so-and-so. I've got a mentor. I really want to stand before my mentor and make sure that's not high enough. The goal is I want to stand before the Son of Man in peace, being without spot and blameless. Then the Lord brought to me, right along with that single goal, a secondary single goal that can't be separated from it. So really, it's the same. But let's read about that. 2 Timothy 2 and 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and a list of, you name it, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's our life goal. That's not necessary. That's not just for eternity, but that's our goal for this life. I want to be a vessel unto honor. What a wonderful goal. That's the goal that we each should have for this life. 80% of wealthy people have focused on a single goal. If you want to be wealthy spiritually, you must set a goal. And it says something else about goals. 67% of wealthy write down their goals versus 17% of poor. 81% of wealthy maintain a to-do list versus 19% of poor. What are these things? They speak to me. This spoke to my spirit because the Lord said, this is why people aren't making it. They're not setting their goals high enough. They're not giving diligence to accomplish the single goal. Nobody that's making it. How do I say that? Everyone who is making it has done these things. They have said to themselves, I'm going to make heaven at any cost. I call to mind my mother-in-law. After being under Satan's cloud for so many years, mother, finally, the Lord healed her mind, and she was saved. And the day before she died, she was with me, and we were going shopping. And I was commenting to her about how she just had finally gotten past some of the changes in her apparel. She had made it just, and it had been a little rough for her before, but she had done it. And I said something about it to her, and she just looked at me. She said, well, I just figured it like this. I'm going to heaven, and there's nothing going to stop me. And that was the day before she died. It just solved it all. It solved it for Mother. It can solve it for you, too. All those decisions that you go back and forth about and you think, well, you know, do I wear this? Do I listen to this? Can I watch this? Think about it like this. Will this keep me out of heaven? Would I want to be doing this when the Lord broke through the clouds? Would I want to be wearing this? Would I want to be doing this in the mirror when the Lord came? Would I want to be reading this? Would I want to be watching this? This will help us with our decisions. There's nobody that can tell you that, but you can hear that answer in your own heart. If the goal is heaven and you mean to make heaven and nothing is going to stop you, then you'll give up what you need to give up. You know, in articles on the internet, there are, it's a little different from reading it in an encyclopedia or a book because now people comment after it. So you can read 1,000 comments about this article if you want. It's real time wasting, but sometimes I do it just because I'm interested in knowing what people are thinking. And it's just amazing what people think. Well, but there was a couple comments that the Lord added to this thought. And this one lady said, this is what life is really about. It is about asking God, what is it that I don't know? And she said, why wait till you die to find out? That spoke to me. I want to know what the Lord requires. I want to know what he wants out of my life. We can know. Constantly come to the Lord. That's what one of the things on this was, that 88% of wealthy read 30 minutes or more each day for education or career reasons. And I thought about that. Lord, how many of us will take the time to read for career reasons? What's our career? Living for God and getting to heaven. Yes. And we find it hard, a hard struggle trying to find that time to do it. But if we want it, if we want to do it long enough and hard enough, we'll do it. Another man said, his comment was, and listen to this one, when the desire is great enough, you'll find a way. When it's not, you'll find an excuse. That's true. Desire is one thing, but the desire of the sluggard, he doesn't ever get it. He desires, but he doesn't have it. But the desire, the soul of the diligent. Diligent is what turns desire into destination. Think about what David said, Psalm 27. They said that how many? 80% of the wealthy have a single goal. Here was David's goal. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Another thought about desire, I read it in 2 Corinthians. Seven. Just two words here, but it speaks volumes. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 11. He talks about a sorrow about your sins that makes you, that motivates you. It's a sorrow. It's what Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. They shall be comforted. They shall be called near unto me. What is this mourning and this sorrowing? It is a it's a realization of my desperate need of God. And I mourn about it because I can't do this by myself. And I've tried and I've failed like we had heard this morning. And I am so helpless that I mourn about it to the Lord. That's what's going to get us somewhere. He said here, what carefulness, that mourning or that sorrow about your own helplessness, what carefulness it wrought in you. And this is why the saints are careful in their lives. This is because there's something in us that knows I'm desperate for heaven. I don't even know how to get there. Lord, what is it that I don't know? I'm so lacking. Do you feel that? I feel it more and more every day. I'm trying to navigate through this very difficult world. Trying to discern between right and wrong. Lord, enlarge my mind. Give me understanding. Lord, how do we deal with this and with this? And what do we say to our children when they ask us this? And Lord, help me discern in my own life. How much of this can I let into my life? Where do I stop it? Where do I draw the line? Lord, what is moderation in this area? Lord, you said, use the world, but don't abuse it. Where is that line, Lord? You know, have you been through the... I think we've all had these questions. Lord, help me. Help me, warn me, instruct me. What carefulness it wrought in you. There are people that are opposing that kind of careful living today. And it's a slippery slope once you let go of that thought. And people say, you're in bondage. Y'all are in bondage living like that. You just... there's no joy in that. There's a part of living for the Lord that recognizes our need and we mourn, yes. And you might say you're not having any joy. But I'm going to tell you something. When you get through doing that and you find an answer from the Lord, and He draws you close to Himself, He completes that process. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The comforted sign is where we have the joy. We go through, yes, we do. We have this vehement desire. We have this carefulness. We have this diligent search that we make in the night. Lord, those words that I said, the Lord says, you know what? You made it appear this way, and you know it's really this way. You're going to have to go back and clear that up. People say, y'all are in bondage. That's legalistic. You don't have to live that way. Let it go. Be free. Be easy. The saints of God, there's a reason why we're careful, because we're focused on a single goal. And we mean to make it, and we don't mean to miss it. We mean not to miss it. I mean, we don't want to miss it with all of our hearts. What clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, what fear, yea, what vehement desire. This list that I read, it said, "70% of the wealthy eat less than 300 junk food calories a day. 97% of poor people eat more than 300 junk calories of food a day." Again, the Lord brought my mind to spiritual things. If you're going to be wealthy, you've got to feed your spirit and feed your soul. If you're going to make your goal, eternal goal, or the goal to be a vessel, you never be a vessel if you're constantly garbage in, garbage in, garbage in. Okay? You've got to be a clean vessel before the Lord. Then he said, 76% of wealthy exercise aerobically 4 days a week. Only 23% of the poor do this. And immediately I thought of this scripture. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. He said, 4 and 7, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise yourself unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. I think about things that we need in our lives. Relationships. Brother Chuck, before we left Guthrie, he preached to us. He said, people get contented to just say, well, I love this person. I love their soul. But he taught us a higher standard. He said, you get to where you genuinely care for that person. That's a goal. That's a goal we need to set before us. That I am going to really care for this person. Some people say, well, I love them, but I sure don't like them. People feel that. There's a higher goal than that. We need to aim higher. Aim to really love that person. That's what washing feet is all about. It puts you in a deeper level with that person. To really love that person, to really serve that person. That's some of the goal that the Lord wants us to have in our life. Not just to think about home life. Not just to coexist. Not just to be two people in the same house. Estranged from each other in our hearts. But the goal is a deep and committed marriage. Where we love one another. Where we're in unity with one another. And I strive for that and I put in for that. One more thing I want to speak from the list. He said, 44% of wealthy wake up 3 hours before work starts versus 3% of the poor. The Lord said to me, people aren't aiming high enough. One of the comments in that article, following that article, was a man said, I've noticed when I come to work in the morning that the only vehicles in the parking garage is a Lexus and a BMW and another expensive one. What does that speak to you? These guys were in there working early. They got up devoted to their jobs. And that's why they were the CEO, and that's why they were at the top, and that's why they had been promoted. They may have started way down as I know a woman out in our area started as a receptionist at a big railroad conglomerate company out there. She's now, since the owner just died this year, she's the CEO. She worked up. She said to herself, what is it that I don't know? And she began to know what it was that she needed to know. We can say that to the Lord. You know what? God gives us the same privilege that he gave Solomon. He comes to us, everyone, and says, ask what I will give you. He does. We are his sons. He said, I will make Solomon my son. And that's the first thing that he did with Solomon is he came to him and said, you ask what I will give you. What did Solomon ask? I am a child. I don't know. Give me understanding. And the Lord, he not only gave him understanding, and he had more understanding than anyone else. It says he enlarged his heart as the sand of the seashore. You know what? We can do that to the Lord tonight. You can come to him and say, you know what, Lord? I don't know how to serve you. And I've come to him after serving him 30 years. I have knelt down in tears and said, Lord, I thought I knew. But I don't think I know. I need to know, Lord. What do I do here? Lord, how do I humble myself before you? How do I serve you? How do I do this for you? The Lord is so faithful. Remember that prayer of that man that said that the Lord was pleased with his prayer? Jabez. He said, oh, that you would enlarge my coast. That you would keep me from evil, that it wouldn't harm me. And what did it say about that? It said the Lord was pleased with his prayer. So this evening, I want to challenge you. You've had the desire. You want to be wealthy spiritually? You give it diligence. You work with it like somebody who's wanting to be rich. Solomon said that about wisdom. You seek after wisdom as those who seek for hidden treasures. What did Jesus say about the kingdom? It's hidden. You've got to seek for it. And I want to tell you something. The Savior is seeking for you. And it doesn't take long for a seeking soul and a seeking Savior to get together. You start seeking, and the Father's already down the road looking for you. And he's going to welcome you with open arms when you start seeking. And it's not just for sinners. Every one of us needs to seek and seek and seek. What did Jesus say? Ask. And it shall be given you. But really, if you read that, there it says, keep on asking. It really says, keep on asking, and it shall be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking. And I believe in the Amplified, it says it that way. Keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.